Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So in this episode, I'm going to touch on training with time limitations. And the reason being is, I appreciate not everyone's got infinite amount of times to train. People have social lives, people have parenting commitments, and some people maybe just want to get more results with less time in the gym. Even if you are willing to spend as much time as possible in the gym, this can maybe allow you to get more from the same amount of time, or just more results as a whole. And free up more time to do more work. And in terms of the first point I want to make, it's if you are someone who maybe struggles with training adherence, struggles to get their sessions in, pick a gym that's close, pick a gym that is nearby to you. If you are training at a gym that's, you know, I mean, half an hour, 45 minutes away, and you're struggling with adherence, then it's probably just due to how awkward it is getting to the gym. So when we're thinking about training adherence, we want to make it as easy as possible for us to stick to it and reduce the friction between us and hitting whatever goal or task we want to hit. And part of that is picking a gym that's nearby or close. Like, I'd rather a client train at a gym that is nearby or close rather than a gym that's far away if it's going to mean poorer adherence. Because again, having good equipment, having better equipment's only better if you can do it consistently. So make sure you pick a gym that's kind of close, convenient. Even if it is poorer equipped, it's still better than nothing. And also, what you want to consider is using antagonist paired supersets. So supersets is a high intensity technique, which I'll cover in a second, high intensity techniques as a whole. But what supersets are, antagonist paired supersets, is basically if, let's say, you do something like a bicep curl, tricep extension. So where you're working the antagonist muscle, the opposite muscle group that does the opposite muscle action. So the benefit of doing antagonist paired supersets or supersets where you're not working the exact same muscle group is if you, let's say, do a bicep curl with like a flat bar and then you do a hammer curl, the quality of the work for the hammer curl is going to be diminished due to that short rest time. Whereas if you pair, let's say, a bicep curl with a tricep extension, it can actually allow better quality work or work that's equal in quality because you are giving the biceps more rest in between each sets of biceps because you're doing a set of triceps in between. And as a result, the amount of loading or reps you can get on both movements could be more favorable because longer rests are shown to be more favorable for muscle growth. And also, on movements that aren't that cardiovascular demanding or mentally demanding, this is where this approach shines. What I mean by that is if you're doing, let's say, a hack squat and then you're supersetting that with, let's say, another really strenuous movement, like maybe a bent over row, for example. Again, random example, but two movements that you're lifting a lot of load in that's really demanding, they won't shine quite as much there because even if you're ready in terms of the muscle group physically, even if you're ready cardiovascularly, meaning you're not out of breath, those movements take a lot of kind of mental energy. And if you're kind of going in between them, you're probably not fully switched on and fully getting the most out of those movements as a result of that. So I recommend doing them on movements that are less kind of strenuous, less taxing for that reason. And like I said, a good example is doing maybe a bicep curl, tricep extension. I do it when I'm doing like a chest fly and then a tricep extension. That's where I like to kind of incorporate it because I've got those two isolation movements after each other anyway. So it allows me to have a bit more time efficiency, getting out of the gym a bit quicker while getting the same quality of work done. What I also like about these is it stops you going on your phone. It stops you kind of losing the pace of the session. Because at the end of the session, when you're at your isolation work, you're a bit more tired. It's easy to kind of like drag out the sets, drag out the session, and just like kind of lose the focus. Whereas it keeps you working and keeps your focus there, in my opinion. And next up is high intensity techniques as a whole. So you get different high intensity techniques like supersets, rest pause sets, cluster sets, and also things like drop sets. So they're just ways to get more work done in a shorter period of time. That's what their utility are. And generally, the again downside of high intensity techniques is you get less effective volume per set. Meaning, if you do a drop set, you do 50 kilos in a movement, you drop it to 40 and get another 8 reps. Those 8 reps aren't as stimulative as if, let's say, you rested for 2 minutes and then done another set with 45 and got 8 reps. So the quality of the work's less, but it makes up for let's say, not having as much time. Like, what I mean by that is if you are doing high intensity techniques, yes, the quality of the work's poorer, but if it allows you to get more work done and more volume done as a whole, then the quality of work's actually better. A good way to kind of think about it is, let's say you've only got time for two sets, but let's say high intensity techniques, if you do a drop set, you get the equivalent of maybe like half of a standard set's effectiveness, and then you do a triple drop set, then you've got more effective work done in a shorter period of time still. So it just means you need to do overall more work in that short period of time, if that makes sense. So as a whole, it will still work out more time efficient. It just might be a bit more mentally demanding, and it might mean doing overall more sets to get the same result in that time frame, if that makes sense. And what can be like a one of my most favorable methods of kind of high intensity techniques is rest pause sets. So a rest pause set is basically like when you do a set and then you take 20 to 30 seconds rest between each. Some people class it as taking five deep breaths in between each. I like to use a timer because it makes it more comparable, more measurable. And that's the benefit of a rest pause set. It keeps loading high. It gives you the effective reps, and you don't need to do, let's say, another 10 reps like on a drop set before getting to the effective reps. And it's easy to kind of compare and assess. So rest pause sets can be a good tool. And if, let's say, you're doing a movement like a leg extension, do a set in the 12 to 15 rep range. Rest 20 seconds, do a set again, rest 20 seconds, do a set again. And again, you might get the same results as maybe doing two straight sets, just doing that rest pause approach with three sets with 20 seconds rest, saving time once again. And in terms of my next point is warm up less. So usually something I've done in the past was I kind of wasted time warming up when I didn't need to. Like if I've done two back exercises, I've done a bent over row, I've done a lat movement, like a pullover. When I get onto a lat pull down, I don't need to mess about doing two to three sets to warm up. Like, I actually just jump straight into it. This will be different for people who have maybe more injuries, joint issues, etc. Maybe older individuals who are a bit more battered from the gym. But movements that you can do it on, it feels safe, and you don't feel like there's any injury risk, just jump straight in. The only caveat to that as well is, or another caveat, not the only caveat, because if I've said two, it's not going to be the only caveat, is it? Is if, let's say, you're doing it, and it's maybe a new movement or a movement that requires a lot of skill, you still might want to warm up for that, if that makes sense, so that you can then perform on your working set. Whereas if you've been doing a movement for a year, you're very accustomed, very used to it, then that's an opportunity where you can maybe jump straight in. Next up is phone use. So I think everyone's guilty of maybe being on their phone too long throughout their session. And even if, yes, you are resting anyway, if you're on your phone in between sets on Instagram, the focus isn't the same. The quality of your session's not the same. Like, it's distracting. And as a result, what I recommend you do is put do not disturb mode on your phone. Put sleep mode on your phone. Get off the phone. Set timers as well if you're guilty for resting too long. So obviously you don't want to rush your rest periods, but like when I'm on my isolation work, well, at the end of my session I can get a bit tired. To give me a rough guide, I'll set like a 2 minute timer, and then if, let's say, the 2 minutes goes off, I can be like, right, well, I can get ready to go again. Whereas, like, if I'm just, let's say, I go on Instagram, before I know it's been 4 minutes, I'm looking at some gossip in the fitness industry, and then, rested longer, then I'm spending longer in the gym when I don't need to, as much as I love being in the gym. And then I'm kind of distracted, I'm not switched on, I've not got that same focus. And what else we can consider is exercises that warm you up, placing them first, or exercises that require a little warm up, placing them beforehand. Let's say you could do, let's say, a lateral raise before a press variation, which will mean when you get into the press, you don't actually need to do as much to warm up. Or you could do a leg extension before a squat, which will again allow you to get your quads warm, so you don't need as much for that squat, and again saving time. Or you could do it vice versa. You could do a squat before the leg extension. You might find that's more efficient because then you can jump straight into the leg extension. So you can play about with it and find, right, what order can you put it in to reduce the amount of warm-ups you need for subsequent or following lifts. For example, some people might find they don't need as much warm-up for like bodyweight movements, like a pull-up, for example. So if you are doing something like a pull-up, place that maybe beforehand so that you don't need to do as much going into other movements. So you can consider movements that will get you warm, get you fresh, and save the amount of time needed to warm up for other movements. And What we can also consider is using pin loaded equipment instead of plate loaded equipment. So plate loaded equipment at times can be more favorable. Sometimes it might be a better machine, etc. But if again it saves time, especially if like you're doing a superset or maybe drop sets, using pin loaded kit can be favorable because it saves you lugging plates about. Especially if you're using a really light machine or you're just really strong. If you're loading, let's say you've got two leg press options, let's say both are equally as quality in terms of quality movements. One you're doing 10 plates in total on, one machine you're using a pin, or maybe you have to put two plates on a side. You're saving a lot of time loading and unloading those plates, warming up, etc. So you can use pin loaded kit to your advantage to allocate you towards having less time spent needing to actually, warm up and walk about the gym putting plates on and off. So that's something you could consider. And what we can also consider is the amount of exercises you have in your program. So what we could do is instead of maybe doing four exercises, five exercises for your back and doing one to two sets for each, you could do three exercises. You could do one where you're loading your lower back, one where you're loading your upper back primarily, and one where you're training your lats, like a pull down, a chest supported row, and maybe a bent over row. So there you could half the amount of exercises you're doing and just do more sets for each. And again, this will save you warming up, taking the plates on and off, doing a different exercise, waiting for a machine to free up. So it can allow you to move through your training a bit more efficiently. And you can also consider like using more multi-joint movements. For example, like if you are tight for time and you're doing a shrug, you're doing a, let's say you're, yeah, you're doing, we'll say you're doing a shrug, you're doing a leg curl, you're doing maybe a bent over row, you're doing maybe a glute isolation exercise. You could instead do an RDL and hit a lot of those muscle groups and save time doing so. Same applies like if you are training your triceps, instead of doing like a tricep extension, not that they're bad or wrong, you could do a dip where you're getting a bit of chest work in there, where you're getting a bit of shoulder work in there, and also biasing your triceps. You could say the same for your quads. Instead of doing maybe the hip abductor, instead of doing like maybe a quad movement on its own, then the adductor machine, you could just do squats. You could just do the hack squat, leg press, and get all those muscle groups hit in the same period of time. Same if someone's wanting to load their lower back, you could then do a barbell back squat. People view that exercise as not optimal. Same with like a Smith machine squat, it's not optimal. Your lower back's getting fatigued. But what if someone's not got a lot of lower back work in their program? Then all of a sudden, the non-optimal exercise is actually the optimal exercise because they're getting more work in for that muscle group. So you can consider multi-joint movements and also your training split. So make sure it's manageable, make sure it's appropriate for yourself. And generally, the less sessions you're doing, the more bigger sessions you want. Meaning, if you're training 3 times a week, you don't want to mince about putting an arm day in there. You want to do full body. If you're doing 4 days a week, you want to probably do upper lower. If you're doing 5 days a week, you maybe want to do upper lower and then another upper session or another lower session, or maybe tag an arm day on there, or maybe do push pull legs. So that's something you consider. Also, what you can consider is doing like bites of exercise throughout your days. So if, especially if someone's goal is general fat loss, or just like, train another muscle group or they're new to training. Just bash out a set of press ups here and there throughout the day. Get a bit more energy burned, get a bit more movement in, get a bit more volume in for your chest. Or for, in my example, me working at a gym, I want to bring up my arms. So what I do is when I'm personal training on a Thursday, I'm not training arms until the Saturday. So I'll do a rest pause set of bicep curls, get more work in. And then on same on Sunday, I'll do a rest pause set of calves. And as a result, allows me to get a bit more work in a short period of time. What you can also lastly consider is if you train at a gym that's usually quiet when you train or there's a tourniquet there, you can warm up for a movement when you're doing the subsequent movement, or just like move your stuff over before you do your last set if you're really tight for time. What I mean by that is if someone's doing, let's say, legs and they tag their arms onto the end of their leg session, then what you could do is if, let's say, you've got two more sets of calves, do your first set, do a warm up set of bicep curls, do your last set of calves, then begin your bicep work. So you can do your warm up in between your actual sets, if that makes sense, to again allocate more time. And also, don't do too much single arm or single leg movements. They can be valuable, but they're also can be a bit more time consuming. So maybe limit them unless it's really inherently valuable to do them. Just so, again, you're saving time from not having to mince about doing a lot of single arm work. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode and found it valuable. If you've got any topics you'd like discussed, let me know and I'll happily consider them. Also, if you do enjoy the podcast, any shares or story tags on Instagram would be massively appreciated. And just any support as a whole, if that's liking, subscribing, leaving a rating and review, would mean the world. Thank you very much for watching or listening, and hope everyone has a great rest of their day.